This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Loving Father, when evil darkens our world, give us light. When despair numbs our souls, give us hope. When we stumble and fall, lift us up. And when doubt assails us, give us faith. Please be seated. When I was younger, so much younger than today. I like that you people know that. The Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, I think it was 1964. How many remember? Show me lots. Oh, good. My brothers and sisters, and I got home, I was with my parents at a store. When I got home, my brothers and sisters were jumping up and down and yelling, the Beatles, and I went, what are you talking about, right? The Beatles, bugs, what are you talking about? I didn't know anything about it. And couple months later, Beatles got back on Ed Sullivan, and I saw it, and I loved it, and I became a believer, and I quit piano lessons. I got a guitar, and I, you know, the whole, like every young kid at that point. So when I read this gospel, it always bothers me. It always bugs me a little bit, because I think to myself, the biggest phenomenon in my life at age 10 or 11 were the Beatles, right? And I didn't believe until I saw them and heard them, and then I did. And I think that Thomas gets a bad rap. Because a week before, the disciples were in the room without Thomas. They didn't believe. I mean, how can you believe? The most incredible thing that's ever happened in the entire world ever is the resurrection of Jesus. And it probably took a lot of time to process it. And for Thomas to say, I don't believe it until I, you know, touch it and see it. And that made sense to me. So I've always felt close to Thomas. And I don't call him doubting Thomas. I call him rational Thomas, right? Because I think he was smart. And then when you go back a little bit further, Thomas is the one when they hear about Lazarus, Jesus' friend is very sick, close to dying. Thomas is the one that says, when Jesus finally says, we're going to go, they're telling him, don't go because the Jews are crazy right now, they're going to kill you or whatever. And he says, let's go with them to die. So he's really brave, Thomas. He was definitely behind Jesus. And when he did see Jesus, he says, my Lord, my God. So he was a true believer. He just had to see. Of course, we're blessed if we believe that Jesus resurrected without seeing. And one of the greatest blessings that we have as Christians is that we can use our minds, right, to discern things. We have the freedom, especially in America, to admit that we have doubts. And I like to quote our former Bishop Friday, who used to say, don't leave your brains at the door. Right? You remember that? I love that guy. And I'll tell you, he was the one that really called me into the Episcopal Church. I sat the very last row. In fact, I sat beyond the last row. There were chairs in the church I was in. And I was the guy that was, I don't really want to get involved in this again. I was involved in the Roman Church, and I had gotten out. And when he said that at like a confirmation service, I said, I want to talk to this guy. I want to talk to this bishop. And that was part of the call. Anyhow, so as faithful Christians, we can ask the tough questions. And for some, doubt is synonymous with lacking faith. But doubt and faith really are two sides of the coin in my mind. They're the yin and yang of our Christian faith. According to Paul Tillich, a theologian, doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's an element of faith. When we suppress our doubts, we should explore them. In other words, use them to discover, to explore, to think about. And Thomas asked for proof. We should also ask for some proof, and God will give it to us. Little things that happen as our minds kind of open to what God's doing for us. Little things open, right? Doubt can be a wonderful tool that propels us into a deeper learning, into soul searching, to spiritual revelation. Because faith based on absolute certainty really leads to fanaticism. And we have some of that going on in the world, throughout the world, right? If you're that person who's just, this is it, and there's nothing else, you gotta be careful about that. Faith tempered with doubt is mature, right? So many believers struggle with our doubts brought on by life's unpredictability, the way things go in life. And we have real struggles sometimes that generate uncertainty where God is to be found. Why does God allow all the evil in the world? Why does God allow hurricanes? Why does God allow mosquitoes? Why does God allow, you know, all the bad things that happen in the world? But if we look at some of the spiritual giants in our time, we can see that they dealt with doubt and how they dealt with it. Mother Teresa, in her diary, she admitted to her spiritual confidant, a priest, "Jesus has a very special love for you, but as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and I do not see, listen and do not hear." That was a little shocking. They said that this happened right around the time that she began tending to the poor and dying in Calcutta. That would depress anyone, right? I mean, what we've seen on TV, just that. Even in public, she was somewhat cheery, but she bemoans this darkness that she lived in. But she continued. So she preserved. She continued with the love, at least, of God's littlest ones. She dedicated her life to those, the smallest ones of life, because of Christ. She's not the only one. Henry Nouwen, who we've probably all read, spiritual writer, many letters, many books. He wrote, "I am praying while not knowing how to pray. I am resting while feeling restless, at peace while tempted, safe while still anxious, surrounded by a cloud of light while still in darkness, in love while still doubting." So even he, who wrote to a lot of people and wrote, you know, incredibly uplifting and encouraging letters, he had his doubts. He says, "Have the courage to trust that you will not fall into the abyss of nothingness, but into the embrace of a God whose love can heal all your wounds," despite his doubts, right? So faith really is a daily ongoing exercise. It's just what I'm trying to get at really is that you can use your doubts to help build your spiritual muscle. Just like some of us go to the gym and we work out, you know, our triceps, our biceps, even our abs, as it used to say. Doubts can be used as dumbbells, right, for your spiritual muscle building. Will we believe in a God who wants to be near us and has our best interests at heart? Or do we have other ideas about what God is? Will we believe in a God who stands beside us in our troubles or who is distant? So these things are important questions because we are given this life and we're allowed time to develop our faith. It's not just boom and life goes on. Life And faith really doesn't take away our doubts, but it can strengthen them. That little bit of faith, that mustard seed, right, can get you through to the next thing. And faith doesn't deliver us from problems and heartaches. We still have the same ups and downs all the time. But I don't know about you, I've met people. I remember a young man, well, we were all young back then, and he lost his job at Pratt Whitney. He was an engineer, and I'm thinking, oh man, kid. We knew each other's kids and all that stuff, and he would say, "God's leading me to something better." Thinking, that's a tough one, but that's what he said, and that's what he, just a normal guy. And guess what? It all worked out. It all worked out for him. But they struggled for a while, and it worked out. Faith really is persevering, having enough faith to persevere, to know the sun is coming up tomorrow, to know that today's not the end, right? It's something new is coming. So one final prayer. May the power of Christ's resurrection be at work in our lives as we learn to allow our doubts to strengthen our faith. Amen.
Amen.